Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
We are now, you know, a week and a couple of days away from the Cowboys and the Eagles next week in Philly. And then, of course, you've got the Jets and the Steelers. I heard Aaron Rodgers with Adam Schein yesterday. And, you know, one of the things that, and we'll get to the Giants in a second, one of the things that really that kind of captured me for the moment was Adam had asked Aaron Rodgers what his message to Jets fans was. And I actually thought as he's asking the question, like, he's not going to answer this. He's just going to be like, hey, I'm a Steeler. I thought he would say, you know what, couple of years, I'm a Steeler now, you know, and just kind of move on. But he didn't. Instead, it was he really spoke about his excitement when he got here, his excitement for what he thought it was going to be. And he said, we had some great moments, then paused and said, not a lot of them. Right. He goes, but there were some special moments for him. And he kept referencing, and I've heard him say this before, so I really do feel like it's not made up. He said, running out of the tunnel, that first game, as he said, it came crashing down four plays in. But he said that was such a special moment for him when he looks back on his career. It's something he'll never forget. And it sounded very genuine to me. And when he was talking about the disappointment of, you know, the way things went, it seemed real. And I know we have a lot of fun at his expense and, you know, the darkness retreats and all this. But I really do think at the end of the day, there was a great chance for this to be something special. And it does suck the way it went down.
It does suck. And I think for Aaron, you got to have a little bit of empathy. Because I thought he, from the outside looking in, and looked like he really brought in to what the Jets were trying to do and him being a part of the process and the plan of kind of changing the culture for the Jets. I mean, you know, we got, even if you backtrack before Woody showing up and kind of recruiting him, like, you know, with the whole darkness, how he ended in Green Bay was kind of, it was muddy. You know what I mean? Like him and Brian Gutekunst, the GM for the Packers, I don't think they left on great terms. I think there was a lot of, you know, darting at each other in the media. And for him to say, hey, I'm coming to New York, and him willing to play in New York, and when he landed here, a lot of the talk was, is he going to buy in to what New York is, right, and what we stand for? And he did, showing up at Knicks games, going to Yankee games, eating out, being, you know, showing his face. And then,
very present.
Very present. And I think for a lot of Jets fans, like, okay, he's down for the cause. And then four plays later, done, right? And then it never quite turned around, especially when he came back the next year and the team just wasn't – he wasn't the same guy, and the team really wasn't able to kind of excel with him in the lineup, especially with him being a shell of himself at the time. So it's I think Aaron's going to be great. I was down in Pittsburgh and watched him in training camp. He looked good. He's throwing the ball all over the place. He looked healthy. Valid. He hasn't played in the preseason game. Practice is different. I get that. But we'll see where he's at.
What you just said, though, like those few words you just mentioned, he looked healthy.
He did.
I don't think he was healthy until December last year. And that's, I think, part of the problem that they had a lot of problems, of course, with the coaching situation, as we know. And once Sala was fired, things really fell apart. But in terms of his play, it was, to me, it seemed obvious as the season wore on, he started looking more and more like himself. And it's just a shame the way things transpired.
Well, I thought the team was gimpy from the start of the season, especially starting the week one against the Niners last year. I mean, he was dinged up. I think he was dealing with a hip and a hamstring a little bit. And you had Tyron Smith, who was, who I love. Shell of himself. Yeah. Morgan Moses was coming. They had to rehab him back onto the field. So they had a couple guys that were all they needed a big play out of, and they just weren't quite getting it. I thought they kind of shored up, and Aaron started to get healthy when Olin Fashanu got in the lineup. And so I thought the back end of the season looked a lot better than the front half. And hopefully it continues for him. Yeah. I think, to your point, no matter how you feel about Aaron Rodgers, you don't want to see him go out like what we saw in New York. You want to see him to kind of have some type of rally. Hopefully it happens.
Well, not everybody gets to go out as a Super Bowl champion.
Correct.
But I do agree with you. It could be better than it was last year, sure.
Last year was rough, man.
Last year was brutal. Yeah. I mean, when you think about the expectations, it's so funny when you think about, you know, you never know what's coming tomorrow or next season or 2 years from now. I mean, if I would have sat here 2 years ago as we were getting ready for the Aaron Rodgers-led Jets into the 2023 season, right. And if I would have sat here and told you, by the way, 2 years from now, Aaron Rodgers is going to be on the field at MetLife Stadium. But his whole first season will be a complete injury mess. His second season ain't going to be so good. And he's going to be playing against the Jets. You would be like, what?
On top of getting the GM fired and Robert Saleh axed. Right.
And Aaron Glenn's going to be the coach.
You can't even write that up.
You can't write it.
Yeah.
That's like saying 2 years from now, Justin Fields is going to come back. Aaron Glenn will be his coach somewhere else. And they'll be playing the Jets. I mean, the NFL is like, it's like the NBA, and it's like a live soap opera.
But I do credit him for at least trying to take some of the hype out of what week one is going to look like for the Steelers and Jets, right?
And he has.
And he has. He goes, listen, you know, I had my relationships. It didn't pan out well, but I'm coming to play football. Instead of saying things in the media that's going to kind of, you know, further ignite how Jets fans, you know, how he feels about Jets fans. Now, I do believe Jet fans are going to try to boo the paint off his helmet.
Oh, for sure.
I think it's not going to be a kind of a general's welcome. I think they're going to give him what they feel like he deserves, but I don't think Aaron Rodgers cares at the end of the day.
Do you think, and training camp coverage on The Fan brought to you by Geico, switch and save, get more with Geico. Do you think when you look at the Aaron Rodgers time here, what was, and let's forget the first season, the injury is what it is.
Yep.
I think he worked his ass off to try and get back. When you look back on it, where would be the disconnect with the fans who are going to boo the crap out of him, I think, for sure? Is it because to me there was one moment where I feel like the fans really turned on him, and that was the whole throwing to the hash mark red line.
Mike Williams.
Yes. Yeah. That to me is the one time where I feel like it was like, excuse me? Like, you haven't played well yet this year, and you're blaming him?
I think fans were, Jets fans were kind of already on the fence of looking to get after him. They just wanted to, I think he didn't win them over with enough wins.
Oh, sure.
And so I don't know if there's a specific the Mike Williams situation didn't hurt.
It was a bad one.
I thought that him and Garrett Wilson never being on the same page didn't help.
Yeah.
I thought the fact that he pretty much tried to bring everybody from Green Bay to kind of assist him in this kind of overhaul never helped. Whether it was Alan Lazard or Randall Cobb,
right,
or the whole Nat Hackett situation, bringing in Devontae Adams, that wasn't, you know, they seemed – you know, there was a situation where we honestly thought, I think, as Jets fans, if we got Devontae Adams on the same field with Garrett Wilson, things will be better. This thing will turn around. It just never did.
It seemed like it would be, like, dynamic.
Yeah, we thought, all right, you got to have a big-time receiver in Devontae Adams. You got Garrett Wilson. The offensive line's playing better. We got these running backs. Okay, well, this thing is really going to turn around now. They go against Pittsburgh week eight, and after week eight, the season was officially over for them. And nothing came from it. So I think Jets fans was like, all right, We let you have it your way, and nothing's come from it. Like, what are we doing right now?
So, well, we will see Aaron Rodgers and the Steelers against the Jets next Sunday. The Giants, meantime, will open with the Commanders, as we know. And up until yesterday, you had Terry McLaurin sitting out, and they were at this pretty big impasse in terms of their contract negotiations. And all of a sudden, I don't want to say out of nowhere, they were clearly working behind the scenes, but the McLaurin situation gets done. Another one of these guys, I'm pretty sure he requested a trade out of Washington at one point.
Yeah.
But they all do that. That's nothing new.
But they didn't, side note, they didn't have to pay him. Like, he was still on the books. Like, he was still,
So is Micah.
Right. Like, they don't, like, he still has to honor his contract. Him holding out wanting more money, sure, I get it. But it was just interesting how this kind of all unfolded. I honestly thought it wasn't going to happen for him. I thought he was going to get traded.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, Swift Rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Interesting. See, yeah. With all of these situations, I always feel like they get themselves worked out at some point. Though the Trey Hendrickson one is weird, only from the standpoint of, and, you know, you can make the case that, you know, the Bengals won this one, he won this, whoever. He got a big raise for 1 year. But I thought the whole point of this was to get more years and more guaranteed money. Now he gets his free agency next year, so I guess that's a good thing for him. But if you're the Bengals, that's it. 1 year.
I hate it I'm not even a Bengals fan, but it's just dumb on their part. You don't have a defense. You literally don't have a defense. And I get it. Al Golden is there, the defense coordinator. He's supposed to kind of shake things up and get better. But they don't have they don't have quality ball players. They have right now. You're asking Chris Jenkins Jr. To be better, right? You got rid of San Hubbard. Now you have Trey, who's their only impact player on defense. You paid all this money to Burrow and T. Higgins and Ja'Marr Chase, but you're in a division that prides itself on defense. You've been 9-8 for the back-to-back seasons, and you think you're going to make a run? I think Joe Burrow is a great quarterback. I love Joe Burrow. I love watching him and everything. But he's not the end-all, be-all. You need more. If I score 100 points and you score 101 points, you win the game.
Mm-hmm.
Bottom line. And that's what we've seen time after time with this Bengals team. They don't have a defense. They don't have quality players, and they lack serious depth. It's only like that's what was crazy about Trey Hendricks. He's the only guy that pops off the tape for you. You should give this guy a 5-year deal just so you can have a fighting chance on Sunday. And you dragged it out and you gave him a 1-year deal. It's just I don't get it. If Joe Burrow, and I love Joe Burrow, but if I'm Joe Burrow, as much as you fought for your guys in offensively, go fight for the guys on defense because you need them. That's why it goes back to what we were talking about with Brady. Brady knew he couldn't win those championships without that defense, and he fought for those guys, and he was willing to take what he was able to take so they can pay money and get other guys paid on defense. So
music to my ears.
It's just wild.
I get paying the quarterback a lot. I do. And I understand it's the most important position on the field. I understand that as well. All of that's true. You can't give them a third of the salary cap.
It doesn't make sense, Jerry. It doesn't make sense. And you're in a division.
Unless you're Patrick Mahomes. He's the one guy who's made it work. And I'm not even sure that he could be probably paid more too at this point.
No, I think Patrick doesn't. He did get paid. I'm lying. But if you're Joe Burrow, if you want to change your trajectory, and you know how you've ended up the last two seasons, okay, pay Chase, pay T. Higgins, but I'm doing everything I can to figure out how I can get some guys on defense that can help us out.
It's hard to outscore a team every single Sunday.
Yeah.
And what I mean by that is in a shootout. I don't mean win 17-16. I mean, if you got to put up 35 points every single Sunday to win, that's tough.
And on top of it, he's an injury-prone quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
So you're really everything falls on Joe Burrow, but he hasn't been dependable, right? And so from an injury standpoint, obviously his numbers are crazy. But I just don't understand what the Bengals are doing. It doesn't make sense to me.
And then what's refreshing here in New York, so now we bring it back to the Giants and the Jets. We're talking about teams like the Bengals and all the money they spent on offense.
Yeah.
What they've not done defensively. You talk about the Cowboys and Michael Parsons, the stalemate he's at with Jerry Jones and the agent, whatever that situation is. Most of their money is in the offense.
Yep.
You know, Dak and CeeDee Lamb make a fortune. Then you come back and you look at the Giants and you look at the Jets. And to me, these two teams are building it a little bit differently. The Giants are clearly defense first. Now, they can do that because Malik Nabers is on his rookie deal and you don't have to pay him yet. And you can do that because Russell Wilson ain't making $45 million a year.
And he's on a one-year deal.
And yep. You just drafted the quarterback who you've got the next, you hope, 5 years for at least with good in terms of salary and numbers.
Jackson Dart definitely showed that he's confident.
For sure. No 100%. Doubt. But they've done it in a way where they're going to have the defense in place. I think the Jets are going to be a pretty good balanced team as long as the quarterback play is good enough. I think they'll be good defensively. I think they'll be good offensively. Not sure they'll be great at either, but they're going to be good. And it's a lot different than the teams we were just talking about that have gotten so top heavy by paying specific guys so much money.
Yeah, I thought the Giants I'm going to jump on the table and say this. I think the Giants got one of the best front sevens in the NFL. I think their secondary has gotten a lot better.
I agree.
And between Dexter Lawrence, you talk about Burns, you talk about Carter. I mean, I think they're going to scare a lot of people. I think they're going to walk up on a lot of people. Now, offensively is the question. You know, from an offensive line standpoint, I watched them in the preseason. I thought they looked better. I thought Evan McNeil's done a great job, a solid job. At right guard, I think they only gave up 2 sacks in the preseason, and I think they had minimal pressures. They're rehabbing Andrew Thomas.
Oh, he's the key, right?
He's the guy, especially dealing with the foot. But it really comes down to what Russell Wilson has to offer, or also how much he still has left in the tank. And hopefully it's enough for them to go out there and scrap. Because I think we talked about the schedule. You talk about Washington, the Cowboys, Chiefs and Chargers in September. You're going to need the tanks in the field general to get you through that month. Hopefully Russell can do that.
I do think just watching him as limited as I saw him in the preseason, the one thing he is going to bring to this team, which they didn't have because they had a quarterback that just couldn't let the ball go, obviously, in Daniel Jones. He is going to throw the ball down the field. Now, yes. I know he needs to be protected. I get that.
Yep.
But I also know he still has some escapability. He's got some elusiveness to him, even at his age. And he is going to throw the deep ball, and he's going to stretch the field, which is something I haven't seen the Giants do in years.
No, and that's why you hope, what's his name, Deontay Miller, if he can be a dependable receiver for them as well. And if they can get the run game going with Tyrone Tracy, that'll be big as well. So I think all those guys, if they can get Miller and Tracy really having an impact on that offense, that takes the pressure off Russ to feel like he has to always go down the field, right, and play that dink and dunk game, play behind the defense. But I also like, listen, I think Malik Nabers is an absolute stud.
He is. He's a guy that's going to get a huge raise in a few years.
And if you get Hyatt, you know, you get those two guys playing together. The Giants have a lot of promise, but it all comes down to the quarterback position. You know, if Russ cannot take the bad sacks, be able to throw in the middle of the field, something he wasn't able to do last year with the Steelers, the Giants, I think they're going to shock some people.
So now let me bring it back to last year in Washington. Okay. And you tell me how much different it could be this year. And I know Washington went on to have a great season, NFC Championship, all of that stuff. Why'd they lose in Washington? Who had a bad game? Malik Nabers.
Yeah.
And you think about that drop on the sideline, yep. And I know a game doesn't make a season.
But he was dinged up. Wasn't something with him?
It might have been. But there's still balls that he should have caught. And he faced the media right after and took a lot of the responsibility.
He was mature about it.
Very mature about it. And you appreciate that. And while that game wasn't going to make or break their season, I do think it could have been different. You end up winning that game.
Yeah, but I also think some things, they were just so bad on so different levels.
Yeah.
It was like,
but I do think things change. You win that game as opposed to giving it away. You walk away like, oh, my God, we played so and we still lost. Shouldn't have lost that game.
Yeah.
They have an opportunity. He has an opportunity now to go into Washington week one and make right from that last year.
And listen, I'm gonna be honest. I got the Giants beating the Commanders week one.
I said that last week.
And I'm gonna tell you why. Jaden Daniels has only thrown. I don't think he threw a pass in the preseason. The Commanders were 0-3 in the preseason. This preseason, reference what I'm talking about. They're 0-3. Jaden Daniels pretty much had one drive.
He had one drive. He scored on the run. That 14-yard touchdown or 17-yard touchdown run.
And the offense hasn't done anything. This team hasn't done anything. And so. I think the Giants are more prime and ready for this month ahead of them than the Commanders are. So I wouldn't be surprised if the Giants walk on that field and they kind of dog walk the Commanders.
What do we call September now in the NFL? Preseason. For real, for the teams that don't play.
Especially for a kid that's coming into his second year, I understand what coaches are trying to do. You don't want to get your prize horse injured. But there has to be some buildup. So when your first snap, week one, when the place is rocking and everybody's juiced up,
I'm with you.
Your guy who had the ball in his hand 90% of the time is ready for the game. Now you're asking a guy in year two, Jaden Daniels. I didn't say he had an amazing first year, but let's not be silly here. And I feel like it was a silly move not getting him more reps in the preseason. Now you got a hungry Giants team that's trying to shock the world, and they're coming into your town. I think it's a recipe for disaster if you're the Commanders. You got to be smart.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.